Blog Talk Radio.
Time with Pastor Steph.
That's what I like to hear. For this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. So, where were you all week? We started off the week shaking the Monday morning blues with the Due Time crew, and we talked about the middle-aged woman who at one time in her teens, she stalked a DJ. Yes. Well, the story goes she stalked a DJ when she was a teenager, and he was really generous to her with his time as he let her babble on and on and on when she called the radio station. Well, her parents hired him to DJ her Sweet 16 party, and even though only a couple of kids showed up, he still was professional, and he was really nice enough to dance with her to 16 Candles, and she ended up following him around to all the different events he used to DJ for, and he was still very kind and patient. Well, she's in her mid-50s now, and she says she realizes that she has some undiagnosed mental and social issues throughout her childhood, and she wasn't able to discuss that at the time. And now she's kind of realizing what she went through when she was a teenager. She's been married, she's had some children, and she said that he is married and he has children, and she's been somewhat jealous over the years, but she's grown up and matured, and she realizes that he has a family and he deserves to be happy as well. Well, she's at the point where she wants to actually reach out to him via a letter and thank him for being there for her when she needed someone to talk to and for putting up with her for so long and being understanding even when others weren't. So she wants to know, what should she do? Should she reach out to him and send him this letter? Well, the Due Time crew pretty much said, sit on down and let this man live his life. Yeah, you know, it would not be, you know, it wouldn't be very good for you to now write this man and say anything. You know, he's, you know, grown up and he's, you know, got his own life. And, you know, she says she's, you know, been married and she's divorced and things like that. And, you know, you don't want him on the divorce trail either, because you don't know what this may start. So you know what? Just deal with your, you know, awareness that you are, you know, realizing that you did have some mental and social issues, and move forward. Move forward. But I don't think, and the Due Time crew didn't really think it would be smart to actually disturb his life. All right? All right. Well, let's talk about a Tuesday Church Folk Day rolled around. And we talk about whether New York City should move forward with opening up a homeless shelter directly connected to an elementary school. Yes, there's a piece of property that is exactly connected to an elementary school in Lower Manhattan, and the residents are in an uproar because they don't want this homeless shelter to open up right next door to their elementary school. They feel that, you know, it would be a dangerous move. They claim that they are going to have people who will be monitoring as well as security, and they're going to be on top of things, and they have assured the families that there won't be anything to worry about. Well, some of the parents are not sold on this, and the Due Time crew actually agrees. You know, they always start off good. You know, you start off with your high level of monitoring and security and, you know, doing your due diligence. And then after a while, things begin to fizzle. And you're not on your game the way you were in the beginning. So now you have these individuals who, you know, may not be so safe for the children who attend that school. And, you know, although they did say, and we do know, we are aware that every homeless person is not a dangerous individual, but considering that there are some unsavory individuals, you don't want that, you know, in such close proximity to the school, especially in elementary schools. So, you know, please get, you know, some new ideas and relocate the homeless shelter. You know, it may sound a little insensitive, but we're not talking about just relocating, you know, because we're talking about relocating for a reason. So we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens. Well, wow, Wednesday rolled around and we got to talking with our girl Vivian and her socially conscious segment. And one of the stories, her wow story of the morning is, or was, a Christian church is selling plots in heaven for $100. Yes, there is a pastor who has collected thousands of dollars because he has people believing that you can buy a plot in heaven for your final resting place when you die. And, you know, we discussed this from two different angles. You know, we know that there's just some wickedness. You know, there's that wolf in sheep's clothing that always is out to deceive individuals. And shame on them. They are definitely going to be dealt with. However, we did discuss, you know, come on. You got to use some common sense. You have to take some time to read the Word of God for yourself so you don't fall for the okey-doke. You know, Vivian did say that this is not the first time that something like this was done. Back in 2018, a pastor was arrested for selling tickets to heaven for over $500 to the congregants. And there was another time when, you know, someone was, you know, caught doing the same thing. So come on, people, use your brains, use your heads, go ahead and, you know, study for yourself. So you are not spending your money to lay down with God like that. That's just not going to happen. That is not going to happen. There's a lot more you have to do for God. And that's not meaning you can work your way into heaven, but it does mean that there are some things that you have to do that is acceptable to God. And buying a plot ain't one of them. So come on, come on, come on. You know, let's get our lives together and let's do what we need to do to ensure that our salvation is given to us by God for the right reasons, not because we bought it. Okay? Okay. Well, yesterday, Therapeutic Thursday was amazing as we had our health and wellness. I want to call her she was amazing. Our sister Athena was on with us, and we talked about foods that can heal or hurt our bodies. And I have to tell you, it was met with rave reviews, really had people thinking about what you put in your mouth, just making you aware of the fact that, you know, just because someone says something is good for you may not be good for you, and you should listen to your body. Yes. I mean, just some amazing tidbits and information regarding even the food coloring that we ingest that can do so much harm to our body, the foods that heal. Those asthmatics out there, yeah, she gave some wonderful tips as to some of the things that trigger asthma, you know, or you're an asthma attack maybe. And, you know, I had people writing, two people wrote in that said, I am an asthmatic and had no idea. That was the first time I heard this stuff. So I just want to tell you to go back and listen. Oh, my goodness gracious. Yes. Go back and listen. You will definitely, definitely be blessed. So that's how we spent our week, everybody. And today is Freestyle Friday. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. God is, amazing as we have made it to the end of the week. And we get to do whatever it is we want to do. And you know what we do over here on this due time on Fridays? We talk to our men. So, you know, today also we talk a little bit about our celebrities. Yeah, we get a little bit of celebrity chatter. And I can't wait to talk to my men and see what they have for us this day. So go ahead and get that healthy breakfast. Go ahead and tell somebody that It's Due Time with Pastor Steph is on. And whatever you do, don't go anywhere, because we will be right back.
June is National Safety Month, and as Americans get back on the road, a lot of things have changed, but not the need for drivers to be safe. Every day on our roads, people are making a difference by practicing good driving habits and following traffic safety laws. So please, put your phone away, drive sober, always wear your seatbelt, never speed, and remember, officers are enforcing traffic safety laws in our communities to save lives, including possibly yours. Let's keep moving forward together, safely.
Good morning and good morning again. Welcome back to It's Due Time with Pastor Steph. And it is Freestyle Friday. Mm-hmm. And we are so grateful to God for allowing us to see another week. And this is our last Friday of the month. Yeah. Last Friday of the month. And we are in the second half of the another year next week. God spares our lives. So, are you ready for the summer? I don't know about that. This heat, well, I don't think we've got the worst of it yet. That means we got two more months. So, I don't know. I guess we better brace ourselves. But we're going to get started with our celebrity chatter. So what are we talking about today? Well, did you like Everybody Hates Chris? Well, I want you to know that if you have not heard, they are coming up with an animated reboot. Mm-hmm. Yep, another animated reboot. I don't know if, you know, this is going to be better than our last animated reboot. But one thing for sure, Tashina Arnold, who plays Rochelle, the mother, and Terry Crews, who plays Julius, the father, will be back. Yeah, they definitely will be back. None of the children will be returning. Yeah, so our Tyler will not be returning, and, you know, the one who played Tanya or Drew, they will not be returning. But Chris Rock will be returning to narrate this story. Remember, this was supposed to be kind of like a soft version of his life. And I hope they have better plans for this one. Well, they probably will, because unlike the other one, this is a brainstorm of Chris Rock. So, being that he will be back on, there probably has a better outcome than the last big mess that we talked about. So, I don't know if any of you know these people, but Tim Johnson Jr. will be the voice of Chris, and they have a lot of smaller names here, no one that, you know, we have heard of. So, you know, they don't have a launching date yet, but they are eager. Terry Crews and Tashina Arnold are pretty eager about this reboot. So we'll see how it goes. We'll see how it goes. What else are we talking about? All right, so we did chat a little bit about Iman Shumpert and Teyana Taylor and her allegations that, you know, since their separation, he hasn't been such a great dad, and the fact that, you know, she was trying to really keep a lot of their stuff private. But thanks to him, he's been, like, all out there. So they have gotten to the divorce stage, and it ain't going so well for him. Now, one thing I didn't realize was that he was an athlete. I didn't realize he used to play basketball. Yeah. But they said that there was some type of talk that he had saved like half of his earnings from when he was, you know, playing basketball. But I don't know where them dollars at, because they're really hitting him. They're kicking him in the butt. And he's complaining that he doesn't make what she makes, so he can't really afford what the judge is asking him. They're splitting up the assets, and she's coming out on top. He's also challenging the custody time. Yeah, he's saying that he's not given enough time to schedule the time that he is supposed to spend with the children. So, in other words, they don't have, like, an every other week, you know, holidays. They don't have that. And what's happening is they're trying to schedule instead, and he's making an argument that, listen, I got to get my work on, and all I'm getting is 3 days' notice. And I need more time to get myself together. So, hey, help me out here. So I don't know how this is going to work for him, because it don't look like he's making out well here at all. So we shall see. They say that, you know, Teyana Taylor is doing a lot with the girls, and, you know, she wants him to do the same. Well, listen, let's be frank. A lot of times, not every time, because there are some phenomenal dads out there, but most times, you know, it falls in mom's lap to make it, you know, happen with and for the children. And I'm not saying who's right, I'm not saying who's wrong, I'm just talking about what the norm is. And more times than none, moms, you know, pretty much have that larger responsibility at the end of the day. So hopefully he'll see the value of making time, because he's going to be the biggest loser here. Because I have not seen yet where the dad is complaining and he's making out well in the courtroom. Yeah, that ain't happening. You're going to have to show the court that you're flexible and you're willing to make it happen, whatever it takes, and then they'll cut you some slack. But if you come out the box complaining, then, hey, don't look for people to be pitying you, because you haven't even tried. And based on her allegations, you already look bad. So I don't know how this is going to work. But if I were him, I'd shut up and start spending some time with the children. What else are we talking about? Okay. Who loves Lauryn Hill and the Fugees? Well, if you do, you'll be happy to know that they have some 2004 Miss Education tour dates. Yeah, Lauryn Hill and the Fugees are moving around. They have officially gotten together and put this 25th anniversary tour date together. Now, they've been doing a few things together. They've done a couple of festivals together. They're actually scheduled to do some things together outside of this tour. But they're letting us know that this thing is official, official, official. I'm going to be honest, I never thought that they would have gotten back together again. And for some time now, Lauryn Hill has been very unstable. And I ain't talking about why. It ain't none of my business why. But they said that she really had worked up a reputation of showing up so late that people weren't booking her anymore, that she was no shows. She was a no-show at times. And I'm going to tell you something. When word gets out like that, don't make a mess of your name. So you don't want to, you know, let people start talking about you like that. So she has joined her boys. And they are going to be in London, Manchester, Paris, Amsterdam. And have no fear if you're on this side of, you know, the globe. They will be in Tampa, Atlanta, Charlotte, Philly, Virginia, Massachusetts, Ohio, Wisconsin, Illinois, Alabama, Texas, Cali. They'll be in New York here at Jones Beach. They'll be in New Jersey. So they will be making their rounds officially. So know that if you like the Fugees and Miss Hill, as well as her baby, one of her babies, Marley, YG Marley, will be joining them, co-headlining all of the dates. So you got something to look forward to if that's your thing. Okay. What else are we talking about? Well, you know, I always like to do a little trivia when I get to my Fridays. And I did see something that I thought was pretty interesting. And I'm trying to, I had a couple of things. And, all right. So, earlier this week, we talked about the Ten Commandments being put up in the schools in Louisiana and how it was being met with some flack. And they actually posted some comments of what people were saying and how they reacted to the Ten Commandments being up in the schools. So I'm going to read a few of them. And you may agree, you may not agree, but this is how people are responding. I think it's an awful idea. I'm Jewish, though not particularly religious. So the Ten Commandments are part of my religion anyway. However, I am in favor of a complete separation of church and state. Another one. If someone mentions anything about the queer community, they're pushing gay agenda. However, putting the Ten Commandments in every classroom isn't pushing a conservative agenda. Is it just me, or does it smell like double standards in here? Oh, really? So the gay community is all over the place, but now you're reversing this thing here? Wow, poor thing. I'm not particularly religious. I'm gay, but I really have no objection to the Ten Commandments being displayed. I have no problem with my children attending religious events either. The commandments do have some moral guidance, and there is never anything wrong with morals. It's not like the teacher will be doing a whole Bible sermon. Okay? What else? This is why I refuse to teach in the South. Oh, okay. Let me start by saying I'm Catholic. I love Jesus and believe in him. But I also know that others don't share my faith. And I know that if an LDS lawmaker tried to ban coffee, there would be outrage. I know that if a Muslim lawmaker tried to require hijabs or whatever that is, there would be outrage. Even if something that isn't religious, like a poster of Taylor Swift, was required in classrooms, there would be outrage. Okay. Another comment. Religion has no place in schools outside of a mythology class. Wow. All right. I'm completely opposed to it, but I don't think I would notice it if I were a kid. What I noticed growing up was being required to sing Christmas songs in school. I'm Jewish, and it always pissed me off having to sing Christian lyrics I didn't believe in. That was extremely offensive, but I had no choice, and it definitely scarred me. What else? As a teacher, I'm terrified. I teach special ed, and my students would not understand what it meant, and I would be so uncomfortable displaying that in my classroom. It scares the heck out of me that the separation of church and state is getting smaller and smaller. Our founding fathers would be horrified. I'm horrified. Our students are representatives of a variety of backgrounds, cultures, and religions, and to actively represent a singular religion is horrible and against everything that public education stands for. It is horrible that this has to be a discussion. All right. Also, a state ranked 42nd in education should be posting letters and grammar, not the Ten Commandments. Okay. All right. The only reason anything from the Bible should be posted in a class is if it is being used to teach about the impact of religion on world history. All right. Another one. I love Jesus, and I'm trying to keep the commandments. And this is absolutely unconstitutional and inappropriate. You're going to explain to kids what adultery and coveting your neighbor's wife means? All right. I wouldn't have a problem with it as long as they display texts from other religions as well. Otherwise, it shouldn't be in public schools. All right. Lawmakers forget or ignore that not all students follow the same religion. All right, we got a couple more. Schools should be a safe place for everyone, especially if home isn't. Wow. All right, so it would be deemed unsafe. How about making sure every child can afford lunch or that the teachers have enough books and supplies for every student? For that matter, make sure there are enough teachers with the mass exodus that's happening right now instead of pushing your ridiculous agenda. Wake up, people. Louisiana's new law requiring public schools to display the Ten Commandments in classrooms should be necessary because morality, values, and discipline nowadays have been slowly decaying, and most evil or toxic people are desperate to find excuses or quotes that support their stupidity. And finally, Louisiana teachers should use it to teach students which commandments Donald Trump has broken and Republicans continue to ignore. So there you have it. An open survey and response of other people and how they feel about the Ten Commandments going up in school. All righty. Well, let's talk about some news. Well, talking about schools. Oh, goodness gracious. You have this middle school principal who hired his friend to kill a teacher, pregnant teacher. So, out in St. Louis, this principal, 42 years old, pled guilty to conspiracy to commit murder for hire and murder for hire, and it was against 30-year-old Jocelyn Peters, who was 31 weeks pregnant, and the fetus named Micah Lee. So this must have been his woman, because he had keys and everything to have this baby, to have this relationship, rather. Now, he's in this relationship with her, and they say before she died, he had her believing that he was going to divorce his wife, but she had no idea that he was also in a relationship with several other women. And she had lost a baby and terminated a baby at his urging previously, but was insistent on keeping this one. So he hires his friend after trying to put an abortion pill in her oatmeal, and it didn't work. Oh, my good Lord. So here's what he did, y'all. They said he took money from a school dance team's fundraiser. At this school, he's a principal, or he was principal over. And he pays his friend $2,500 and gives him the key to go in her house and kill her while he goes away. So, in other words, he wants this alibi that he was not in town. Well, in all this article, they never say how he got caught, how they ended up finding out it was him. But, you know, they always look at, you know, the spouse or the lover first. So I guess he forgot about that piece right there. And they say that they found that this friend shot her in bed using a potato to suppress the sound of the gunshot. This sounds like such a Lifetime movie, y'all. It's like you can't make this stuff up. You can't. He's going to go for $2,500. You going up in a woman's house, put the gun in a potato, like you some real hired hitman, and you still get caught? You're a dope. Oh, boy. Well, they say he repeatedly lied and said that he didn't have anything to do with it. He was away, and they weren't buying it. And I guess after they pressed long enough, somebody caved and told the truth. So this is who is governing the schools. What else are we talking about in this crazy news? Now, this was interesting. There's a man who, by series of events, ends up getting paid $175,000. It is a lawsuit. I was right. To settle this lawsuit. So this state trooper stops this guy and he ends up showing him the middle finger. At the end of the day, they say that because he ended up rearresting the guy, because he showed him the middle finger after the first time they had some kind of confrontation, and he arrested him again when he showed him the middle finger, and because he showed him the middle finger, they say that this was a violation of his rights to arrest him for that reason. And now they're granting him all this money. And I said to myself, so at the end of the day, so I'm kind of cutting through the chase here. At the end of the day, you show this man, or this man shows you the middle finger, you get mad, you arrest him. And now they say that that's a violation of his rights, and they pay him at least $100,000. Look at what happens to the black man on a regular basis, and they don't pay him 5 cents. Yeah. Yeah, this was quite interesting. And I'm like, at the end of the day, wow. So if had they only, like, flipped him the bird, these cops out here, maybe they would have got a couple dollars, too. I don't know. But, Well, remember last week, Shantice did the pray for them, and it was Remy Ma's son who was involved in the shooting or accused of the shooting. Well, it ain't looking too good for him. Because him and the other guy who they are charging, they were arraigned on Tuesday. And they are really going after them. So I don't know. I don't remember exactly some of the details that Shantice gave, but I will share with you. So as a reminder or an introduction to this story, they were hired to murder this 47-year-old man. And they say that both him and the other young man both shot him. And Remy Ma's son, if convicted, can face life in prison without the possibility of parole. And the other young man is facing like up to 25 years. Now, I don't know, because both of them have been charged with shooting the man. So I don't know what makes the difference, you know, but both of them were charged with second-degree murder, reckless endangerment, and 4 counts of criminal possession with the weapon. Both of them. But Remy Ma's son is getting a whole lot more time than this other young man. And again, she's saying, Remy Ma, that is saying, you know, she's maintaining his innocence, and, you know, she can't say anything because, you know, like Shanti said, they have forbidden her to speak because it's an open case, and she might be saying something that would further get him into trouble. But my thing is, if they got proof, and they don't say where the proof is, not in this article, if they're claiming that they got proof that the two of them shot and killed this man, then my thing is, what do you have to say? because it wouldn't be the first time that somebody was accused, a young black man was accused of doing something that he didn't do. However, you know, if this is the case where this information is accurate, then what do you have to say? What can you say? You know, they also mentioned in this article that, you know, she's expressed some regret and she's apologized. And I think Shantice mentioned this when she was talking about this situation, about the time she spent away in jail. And, you know, that means that, you know, she couldn't be with him. She was away from him because of her incarceration and so forth and so on. And maybe that's her guilt talking. I don't know. But they have definitely charged these two. And they're babies. They're babies. The friend or the other young man is 22. And he, Remy Ma's son, is about the same age, 21, 22 years old. 23. He's 23. So I really hope that there is some misunderstanding here. Because, again, we've got these young men giving their lives to the system. And I don't know what proof they have that this is, you know, we just got finished talking about this murder for hire. And that's exactly what they're saying. They're saying that they were hired to do this. So I don't know where that information is coming from. They didn't say in this article. But as time goes on, I'm sure they'll be releasing more and more information as we go along. So, let's talk to our due time men and hear what they have to say about some of this stuff we're talking about. Good morning, Brother Ainsley.
Hey, good morning, Pastor Steph. Good morning. Can you hear me? All right.
I can hear you. How are you?
I'm doing good. You sound good.
Oh, okay. I'm trying to be good. Thank you very much.
All right.
Well, you were not on with us on Tuesday when we talked about the fact that this Louisiana politician has made the decision to put the Ten Commandments up in the school. And I just got finished reading a myriad of responses and feelings about such a movement. What's your thought on it?
I'm for it. And for a couple of reasons. Let me tell you, because I don't know why people forget, like, this country was supposed to be founded on Christian beliefs. Because if you don't like it, then don't spend no money, right? Because on every single bill, don't it got "In God We Trust"?
Yeah, so
how in the world are you going to be like, oh, I don't want to discuss religion, but you put your hands on it every day?
Oh, you know what I'm saying? Okay, so, that's a thought.
All right, as far as specifically the Ten Commandments, you know, if I'm not mistaken, all right, the Ten Commandments, of course, is in the non-Christian Bible, is in the Torah, and is in the Quran, and even from a literal sense, what is wrong with just putting that up, putting that there? You know what I'm saying? As a kid, you know, I remember we had to say, the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag and yada, yada, yada.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? Now, as an adult, I might not agree with it, but we're supposed to do it as a kid. Now, as an adult, I might not do it if somebody asked me to do it, right? Like, for example, like, now, you know, we go to a sporting event, everybody do the national anthem, ask everybody
right.
to stand. I don't.
Right.
Because now I know you know, the history of that song, and you listen to the second verse of it, it was, you know, discriminatory to us, our black people. So I won't do that. So, I mean, lots of us kids, you know, we go through, but listen, there, I don't see no harm with the Ten Commandments just being up there. You know, it's not saying, you're not saying go kill people. We need, look, when prayer came out of school, but this when all hell started breaking loose eventually thereafter. You know, so having the Ten Commandments, I think, is a step in the right direction. You know, it ain't like you saying, okay, you're going to have somebody in there preaching every day, or they're going to have Sunday school, or, you know, Sabbath work. You know, it's just the words there. They have meaning. And even from the minimal literal sense, it is a word. It is a worthy read. So why not? If you got a problem with it, then you know, I'm sorry. It's there. It is there. That has been around for centuries. It's a reason why, you know, the Bible is what it is. It's a living word. But even in literal, just in the minimal literal sense, you know, it has meaning. So I would say put it up, and ooh, there it is. If you don't like it, up too bad. There's a lot of stuff you don't like. You got to deal with it. You know what I'm saying? If you don't want it there, then take your choice off the dollar bill. You know? And I'm like, no. And that just shows how far away this country is moving away from its Christian faith.
Okay. Wow. All right. Now, let's see what else we'll be talking about here. Let's see. Oh, okay. So we talked about, I talked about the story of, at the end of the day, the state trooper arrested this guy the second go-around for flipping him the bird. And they ended up with this lawsuit against this, I guess, the state of Vermont or whoever this is. And this gentleman ended up getting at least $100,000 because they say it violated his rights. What do you think about that? Now, all the stuff we go through, but he got $100,000. What do you think?
Yeah. I mean, yeah. I had read about it. I'm like, good for him. And maybe he got a lot more because he got $100,000, and I think the ALCU, whoever represented him, they got $75,000. So they had to pay a total of $175,000, right?
Yes.
Basically because it's saying his First Amendment was violated, which is true. As soon as I read it, I'm like, yeah. You know, so, you know, you got cops out here who think, you know, they want respect, but they don't want to give it to you, all right? And, you know, and you can. Just because, you know, a cop pull you over or, you know, talk to you any kind of way, but yeah, you're supposed to be yes, sir, and yada, yada, yada. No. You can give them the bird, the finger, and that's not a violation. You can say whatever you want to say. You know, I can tell you a story. Years ago, right, this is why my brother and my father, right? So my brother is in the military, right? And he used to come home on the weekend before he got deployed, right? So when he went go back, there was a group of people from the military, a lot they would know. They would meet up near Times Square. So whoever drove up that weekend, he would just meet at a particular area near Times Square before they go back to base, Fort Bragg or wherever the base was going. But somewhere, it's a designated place in Times Square, right? So my father is taking my brother to the desert so he can get back to base, right? And what happened is, so he pulls over, let my brother out. A cop is saying, telling him, oh, he can't stop there. But he was like, listen, my son got to get to base. Just let him off here, right? And so they say, so the cop's going to say, I'm going to give you a ticket. Okay. And so he does. But my father curses and got this cop out. It happened to be a female cop, right? And while I was with my brother later on told me, he cursed her out something awful, right? So when they go to court, right, and, you know, called the officer, you know, they got to go first, present their case. And he was like, yeah, I saw this person. He pulled over. He was supposed to see. He pulled over into a no-stop area. And when I gave him a ticket, and he used a whole lot of foul language, you know, yada, yada, yada. And my father, he said the same thing. Yeah, I stopped him. My son, he's in the military. And you know, he's got to get back to base before he gets deployed. This when the Iraq war was going on. And she stopped me and said, yeah. Now, the judge was like, wait a minute. He read right through everything. He said, wait a minute. We at war. We got a soldier. They're going to get deployed. And you see him. And you still going to give a ticket. And he said, you seem like you are more upset because he cursed you out. And that is nothing wrong with him cursing you out.
Wow.
What law is it? He said, you should know better.
Wow.
You represent the law. You should know better. And dismiss the case.
Wow.
So when I saw that, I was, that brought to my mind, and, you know, so yeah. So no, I mean, now I don't suggest people get an interaction with the cops. You go give them the finger, and then you won't get paid afterwards. But in this case, I was happy to hear that, see that.
Yep, well, he definitely got his payday. And like you said, the ACLU got their $75,000. And everybody walked away happy except for the state trooper, I suppose. Well, thank you so much for joining us. Brother Ainsley, let's see what your brothers have to say. Let's see if Brother Al is ready to talk to us this morning. Good morning, Brother Al.
Chop chop of the morning, you know I'm ready because the kids are out of school. Oh yeah.
Oh yeah. How are you, Brother Al?
Yeah.
Are you happy that the school year is over or what?
Man, I'm very happy, but because of my position, I'm a 12-month employee. So I'm here now at the school doing nothing. And I say, y'all wanna pay me to do nothing? I come in here, take care of some little work, stuff I need to do. So, but I'm glad no kid here. Nice and quiet, like I like it.
All right, Brother Al. All right. Well, you were not a part of Tuesday's conversation either. You're in the school. What do you think about the Ten Commandments going up in the school?
I think it's a good thing. You know, you got people getting upset about it. And it's like anything else. Then if you don't like it, don't look at it. You know, I look at what they do in the school with this LGBTQ elemental appeal thing. You know, you force that on us. It signs up all through, oh, don't let Pride Month, oh, it's all through the school. Folks is here, folks are there. So you want to beef about the Ten Commandments? You know, that's what y'all want to do. I walk past it because we don't concern. But now you're going to put the Ten Commandments up. There's an issue. And you know, they okay with just all the other religions putting things up. It's just insane. So my thing is, if you don't like it, then just don't look at it. But it should be put up. Put it up.
All righty. Okay. Now, we just got finished talking about this gentleman who was paid $100,000 because when he flipped the bird to the state trooper, they arrested him. He arrested him, and he said, you know, the judge felt that, you know, his rights were violated when you arrested him for showing you the middle finger. What do you think of that?
My question would be like, okay, what's the charge? I'm arrested for what? Can you explain to me the charge? That's false arrest because I didn't do anything to you. I did my freedom of speech. And what you did. Matter of fact, it was a speech. I just did. I didn't even give you sweet time to stuff. I just did. And you arrested me.
Oh, my God.
So you ruined my day. You know, I had places to go. And you're going to take me in for nothing. That's right. Get my cash. I'll take it.
You did your freedom of speech. All righty, Brother
That's
Al.
Right.
Oh, well, we're happy that you were able to join us today. You got a little peace of mind. Might be short-lived, you got a peace of mind, and we're glad to have you on. All right.
Oh, yeah.
Let's talk to our Pastor KL and see what he has to say. Good morning, Pastor KL.
Good morning, Pastor Steph. How are you?
I am well, thank you. I am well. How are you doing over there?
Oh, man, you know me. Like I said, I'm just peachy, just peachy.
What's the symbol for Alabama?
The elephant.
Wow.
Is that what
really?
You're talking about? Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, so you got to figure out how you're going to tell us you're elephant-y. Can't say you
My
peachy.
What?
You elephant. You got to figure out a way to say that. You ain't peachy. That ain't got nothing to do with Alabama. All right?
Well, so
figure it out.
We actually say roll tide, roll tide.
Oh, okay. So then say I'm roll tide.
I'm roll tide.
Oh, Pastor KL, you were a part of Tuesday's conversation when we talked about the Ten Commandments. But for those who may not have been on with us, state your thought.
Well, you know, as I said before, I thought it was very, very important. I thought it was a good thing, but I did do some research and I heard that you repeated it today. With that school education wise, in Louisiana state education wise being 42, I don't know that they'd be able to read it.
Now, you know
they
what?
They can't
oh,
read
my goodness,
it. So it might not really mean anything, but they probably won't be able to read the thing. 42 is quite low.
No, you're gonna your head's gonna spin for this one. There was a correction at the bottom of the statement. They said that not 42, it is actually
47.
47. Yes.
Yeah, that's what I thought was 47. But when you said 42,
yeah.
I thought maybe I was mistaken. But yeah, it's 47.
Mm-mm.
So, I mean, they can't read.
Mm-mm.
So, I mean, I just don't. Though I think it'd be good, you know, somebody got to read it to us. It's like, you know, we the slaves in the corner and somebody reading to us.
Mm. All righty. Now, what about the man who flipped the bird to the state trooper and he got $100,000 because they say that they violated his amendment, his First Amendment rights? What do you think about
ain't
that?
Ain't that like the freedom, isn't that like freedom of speech?
Yeah.
Is that? Yeah, I mean, I'm totally in agreement. You know, I listen, only because I'm black, I won't flip off the bird because it won't go my way. But you know what I mean? I might get my finger broken off, you know what I mean? And all I got to do is pay for my hospital bill. I'm not going to get no $100,000.
No.
But I'm in agreement. I'm in agreement. And then, you know, that's the only premise that you arrest me on? You couldn't even conjure up or make up nothing? You just arrest me because I gave you the finger? Oh, wow. That's crazy.
Yeah. You know, the first thing I thought about, and that's what I was, you know, brought up to Brother Ainsley, was the fact that, you know, hey, you arrest this man for just, you know, and, you know, it says just, but it's not just, but it is just, you know, as Brother Al so eloquently put it, I just, you know, gave you my freedom of speech, and you gave him $100,000, and I think about all the things that men of color go through, and the fact that, wow, you know, how many times have their rights been violated and they got not a penny? And it's like, yeah, this is great. This is a great movement. But, wow, that's really kind of a little sticky there. real sticky right there. So I don't know. Well, thanks for joining us this morning, Pastor KL. I got a story. And before we get there, I want to talk about this thing here. So we all know that forever and a day, there's been talks about who killed Tupac and all of this kind of stuff. And they finally made this arrest of this, I think it's Keefe D. And he's trying to get out because he has cancer. So what he did was they gave him bail, and it was like this high amount of bail. And what he did was he then went to some executive and made a deal to, at the end of the day, he made a deal to pretty much sell the rights to the story of his life. And in exchange, they would pay for his bail and get him out. But when he went before the judge said no, because in Las Vegas, they have a rule that you cannot, like, sell the rights. Like, you can't get your bail money. It's like a really funny rule. You can't, like, get bail money and things like that from selling the rights to your life. And she went a bit further and said, absolutely not, because, and I probably got that a little bit wrong. I'm trying to remember all these stories. But For this particular story, the nail in it is, she was like, no, you're not going to get money to tell your story, and part of that story is how you killed Tupac. And I wanted to talk about that for a little bit, because here you have an opportunity to get out. Should they, because, you know, of course, you have those who say, well, listen, he has this issue with his health, and this should all be considered. And if he can come up with the bail money, let him come up with the bail money, and let this be what it is. And it says he's fighting cancer. And if this is what it is, then let it be what it is, because if he's found guilty, he's going to jail anyway. So why bother him? I'm going to, as you all are talking, I'm going to find, they're saying it's a Nevada law prohibits convicted killers from profiting from their crime. So there's this argument that's being made. He hasn't been convicted yet. So you can't really say he's profiting from the crime. So, other words, if he was convicted and then he wanted to sell the book about how he shot Tupac, they would not allow him to do that. But considering that this is all now before he's actually been, you know, convicted, why not let him go ahead and, you know, do what he needs to do, get the money, and be about his business. The other piece of the story is they actually questioned the person who was going to front the money. And she wasn't quite sold on how he answered the questions either. And she was saying there was still, after he explained, she said she still had more questions than answers. So she said, no, I don't care. He's going to stay in here. He's not going to make bail. I don't care nothing about him fighting no cancer. I don't care nothing about how, if you're going to give him the money or you're going to pay it for him, he's going to stay in here because this all looks shiesty to me. Should it matter, Brother Ainsley? Hold on, let me put your mic back on. Should it matter?
Should it matter what, that?
Should it matter? Because you have people arguing that he's not profiting from his crime because he hasn't been convicted yet. So the Nevada law says a convicted, let me read it, make sure I got it right. The Nevada law prohibits convicted killers from profiting from their crime. But the argument is he hasn't been convicted yet. But the judge is saying, no, I'm not going to allow this. There's an exchange on the table. You're selling the rights to the story of your life. And that life story includes how you killed Tupac. And that would mean you would be profiting. I'm not allowing that money to come through like that, even if it's for your bail. And people are arguing that what does it matter? He should have the right to, it's legal. In other words, it's not like a drug money or whatever, or questionable money. This is a legal transaction. This man has a legal business, and if he wants to buy the rights, then let him buy the rights in at the amount of the bail money. What's your thought?
No, for two reasons, right? I know what you're saying, because like in New York, I think it's called a Son of Sam law. Like you can't profit, you know, from your crime like that. And no, because, all right, first of all, ain't nobody interested in your life story if it don't include shooting Tupac. All right?
Wow.
So now you're gonna put this in a book. So you're going to basically admit you doing this before you go to trial. And I can see then if we go to trial, then you're going to say that to make money. You know, but you're going to plead your innocence for something that you're admitting in a book. So one way or another, you lying. Are you into saying that, you know, saying you did and you didn't? Or you didn't and you did? Which one is it? You lying. Either which one way? So to eliminate all of that, no, we ain't doing that. And another reason why, now, you so crafty to think of this, right? I understand how you so crafty you can think of trying to do this, but you're stupid behind, because I believe, if I'm not mistaken, his own mouth got him in trouble going on that podcast, Vlad TV, telling the whole world what he did. That's how he got caught. Open up your big mouth, and people go in there and just say they did this back in yada, 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 and there's no statute of limitation for murder. So now you open up your big mouth, and now you're trying to fritz it. No. No, you got to go. You know, so you're not crappy enough to know you keep your mouth shut. If you did something back then, just shut up. But no, open up your mouth, think ain't nobody going to pay attention, but you was wrong. Now you're trying to find a way to weasel out of it. It's a good idea, but nah, you got to go. No.
Wow, okay. All right. Brother Al, what say you? Should it go according to you?
I agree with Brother Ainsley. You know, I think that's so cocky and arrogant for you to sit back, even though you wasn't charged yet, but for you to sit back and brag about how you killed somebody, I think that's arrogant. I think it's cocky. And no, he shouldn't. You know, I don't care about you. Got cancer. I don't care about you. You know, oh, I can make this money to do this and that. What about his family? What about his sisters and them? You know, they got to sit back and look at you writing a book about, or giving somebody the right to a book or something about how you killed my brother, how you killed my family member. No, that's why I think the justice system is just crazy. They do too much. No, you can't do that. You ain't got the money? All right, then you should have kept your mouth closed from the beginning. So, but you open your mouth, so you know what? No, you sit back and you wait in prison until your trial comes. So I don't think they should let him do that at all. I don't care about the law. When they ever cared about the law. So, no, I don't think he should benefit from that.
righty. All righty. Pastor KL, what's your thought?
Well, you know, I think my brother's hit it on the nail on the head. I think Brother Al used the two words I was going to use, cocky and arrogant. You know, like you are, you just above everything now. And it's like, I did what I did, so what? That's what, and now you want to make money and prosper over murder. You know, so you're telling on yourself and you're saying, pay me too. So were you a hired hitman? Because now you still want to, it's the gift that keep on giving. You want to get paid and you want everybody to know. It's not enough that you fall short in the wound by admitting what you did. But now you want to keep on reminding folks by buying my book so you can understand just how I did it. No, that's cocky.
All righty. You know, there's another little piece to this too, and the judge, was really concerned because she said that when she went into the financial records of this person who said he was going to put up this money, you know, in exchange for the story rights. She said there was still too many questions in regards to his finances. And the thought is, no, you're not really the bond poster. Somebody else is putting up the money, because even his own financial records for him being a business owner did not answer as to if he was really the person who could even afford to put up this money. And I agree with you, gentlemen, with all of these questions, even if you left that piece out, I wanted to add that piece because that was another nail in the coffin for them. But even with this piece right there left out, you know, when it comes to this large amount of money being posted, there's a reason why they post such high amounts of money. And the goal is to make it high enough that challenges you being able to hit the street. Now, considering that this is murder, you're lucky that you even got bail to begin with. And now you need to make sure your ducks are in a row, because if you don't think that these people are going to challenge where you get that kind of money from after they have significantly place that dollar amount, then you got another thought coming. And for me, that is cocky and arrogant even in and of itself. That I set this at this amount of money, you think you're going to be able to go past me? You think you're going to be able to weasel past me? You're going to brainstorm past me? Nah, right there. And see, when people find that you're challenging them like that, that automatically sets them off. So, you know, in addition to what you guys said, I agree with, but then when you add on that you are now, you can't even come up with a good enough plan to ensure that you got this kind of money, then nah. And then you're going to be, like you said, you're going to be talking about this later, sitting back with your legs crossed? No. If you happen to get cancer, you've been walking around here for 27 years. Dope. Like you said, keep your mouth closed. But since you thought it to be so cute that you would talk about it, then you're going to be sick behind bars and live like the rest of them live when they get sick. They don't get released because they got cancer. They have to endure the inmate life and being ill. So I agree with y'all. Let them stay right there. Oh, I got another story for you gentlemen. There is an issue that they have found with black donors who give their kidneys to help to extend someone else's life. And here's the long and the short of the story. Come to find out, they are discarding the kidneys of black donors because they say it doesn't have a long lifespan. So when they did the research, they found that people who were on the other side of the fence, their kidneys were more viable and lasted longer than people on this side of the fence. And what they did was instead of them giving the kidneys and putting them into people, they are discarding them. And now that word is coming out that they are discarding them, the people are getting upset, and they're saying that they are now becoming discouraged from donating their kidneys. And they're saying that the thing that destroys your kidneys most is high blood pressure and diabetes, something that people on this side of the fence suffers more with. And because they suffer with this at a higher rate, it deteriorates the lifespan of the kidney. So pretty much, why put this in a person at all? If it's not going to last, because even after, even on a good kidney, after a certain amount of time, a person who's gotten the transplant has to get another kidney. So if a normal kidney lasts you 10 years, a kidney that's not so good may last you 5. So instead of even going through the process, they're discarding the kidneys. And some people say, okay, it makes sense. And other people are saying, no, it doesn't make sense. Go ahead and give the kidney. Go ahead and let them take the chance that at least they have 5 years where they may not even have that. But don't throw away the kidney altogether. Brother Al, I'm going to start with you. Where you going with this one? Brother Al?
Hello?
Are you in?
I had it on mute. Sorry about that.
Oh, okay.
I'm so used to putting the phone on mute with the kids around.
I'm sorry.
Okay. So now with the kidney, I would be discouraged too. You know how many people out here need kidneys? You know, I got a couple of friends I know that are on the list that's in desperate need. You know, and then for them to get the kidney and just start discarding them. So I'm taking it as you looked at some type of survey and saw that, wow, you know, a lot of black folks need kidneys. Now, we're not doing that. You know, that's how I'm taking that. Because, again, like you said, in our culture, the high blood pressure and stuff that destroy the kidneys and things like that. And I think that's just terrible. I mean, how evil can you get? You're going to throw away a kidney. It ain't even yours. You just throw it away so other people won't get it. I think that is just so evil. You know, it's just so evil, man. That's all. I can understand people saying, well, you know, I don't know. I don't want to donate my kidney if that's what they're doing. You know, it's crazy. But I think you lose regardless, because if you pass away, you know, and they take out your organs, they're going to take out your organs. You can't do that when you die. So they take it anyway. But, you know, that's horrible. Absolutely horrible.
All righty. Brother Ainsley, you know, these are people who are willingly donating their kidneys. And after they do the study on that said kidney, they say it's not a viable kidney to the degree that they like it to be. So they discard them.
I'm surprised to hear all of this. It's like there's racist things, discriminatory, and organ donation. I mean, black men, even giving away an organ, you got to go do some stuff, man. I like Brother Al. It's like, listen, if it's up to me, either, you know, die now or you can't get a good one, or I can get 1 or 5 years, I'd rather take 5 years than nothing. And, you know, And, you know, knowing this, I mean, I would be discouraged for one to donate. Well, like, well, I'm going to, you know, I think we get your driver's license. I think we put on, do you want to give, you know, do you donate your organs, whatever, stuff like that. You know, if you're telling me you're going to throw away any garbage, why would I want to do that? You know, even if it ain't up to par as those on the other side of the fence. I'm like, nah, I wouldn't want to do it either. But I'm surprised that this is even an issue, because I think some life is better than no life. You know, so, I mean, even maybe if you have to disclose that, okay, the viability of this particular kidney is not as good as on the other fence, I think most people, I don't know who would say, no, I don't want it. You know, so I'm surprised that this is even an issue.
Yeah, unfortunately it is, Brother Ains. Pastor
yeah.
KL, they're saying that they go with an algorithm, and there's 10 factors, and they include the donor's age, the height, the weight, and the history of hypertension and diabetes, as well as race. And this is how they end up coming to the conclusion that it's not as viable, and they discard the kidney.
Well, I think that's a sad situation. First of all, we've already blackballed, because if we're going by race, we're going to be in the last on the totem pole. You know, but a lot of things I'm looking at, you're going to frown upon me if I buy one on black market. I'm taking a chance. You know what I mean? If I pay for it, no, that's not good. Let me die. Somebody got one selling. Let me die. But now someone has one, and they're not selling, but it's free, but you don't think it's good enough for me. Listen, at this point, I'm about to die. So anything is good enough for me. You know, like my brother's been saying, if I can live 5 more years and search for another kidney, that's fine. You know what I mean? That gives me time, allowed it to look for something else. But here I am at the end of the rope, and instead of prolonging my life, you're saying, no, this kidney's not good enough. Well, the kidney that I have is not good enough. I've been dealing with that. Let me have the option. You should be able to come to me as the patient to make the decision whether I want to take that chance or not.
All righty. I have a question for you guys. So if a person takes one that says, okay, I'll go for 5 years. This one may last me 5 years. It may not, but this one may last me 5 years. Should they be allowed to go back on the list? So in other words, you either take this and get off the list altogether, or take it, or not take it and stay on the list. Should you be allowed, if you took the kidney that you understand is going to last you just about 5 years, should you be put off the list at, you know, or allowed to go back on the list? And if so, or if not, why? Brother Al.
Yeah, I think that, I think, okay, you say you get this kidney and, hey, this is going to last you 5 years. I think that you should be able to get back on the list, you know, because, again, you're telling me, okay, I need the kidney to continue to live, and you give me this kidney and you say, hey, listen, this is going to last you about 5 years. And I think when you get close to the time and you go to the doctor and you get checked out and they say, hey, listen, this kidney is about to go, I think that you should be able to get back on the list. I don't think you should go ahead of nobody, but I think you should be able to get back on that list.
Okay. So get back on the list just in your turn. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. Brother Ainsley, what say you?
Yeah, I agree with Brother Al. I say definitely get back on the list. Because, listen, if you get the 10-year-old, 10, the one that's supposed to be good last 10 years, well, don't go wrong with that. You're back on it, right? So...
Yes.
So what, 5 years? You're back on again. Listen, you know what? It might be more availability for the one that's 5 years. So I got to go two in the course of 10 years for who throws somebody does one. Listen, I say good, get back on the list. And again, man, I give, you know, go be on top, but you got to wait your turn. But yeah, I mean, I don't see any good viable reason why they should not be. You know what I'm saying? No. Mm-mm.
Okay, okay. Pastor KL.
Yeah, again, I'm with my brothers. I definitely think you should be able to go back on the list. First of all, you know, I know folks who it takes 5 years just to get it, just to find, you know, something that's compatible. So why not? You know, at least when if this one deflates or go out, you know, I mean, I'm close enough to getting another one. And again, you shouldn't be back on the top of the list. You know, wherever you fall on the list at that point, you know, you go to the bottom of the class. But again, it's going to take 5 years, you know, potentially to find one.
Yes, yes, yes. You know, this is a really bad practice. You know, my thought is, what would be so hard in just simply telling a recipient that, listen, here are your options, and making it known to them and giving them the option of making that decision, opposed to making the decision for that person? Because already the they're talking about the algorithm is in 10 factors. You know, you are very possible to not even have someone in your own family that can donate a kidney to you. There are people who can't even get from their family members. They have to wait on a list of people outside of their families. And to actually have someone who is compatible, and then you say, well, you know what, this only going to last 5 years. This only going to last this amount of time. This is only going to last 1 year. You know, that you don't get the option of, or you shouldn't have the option of making, you know, that decision. And, you know, unfortunately, you can't say race can't be a part of one of the 10 factors, because that's all part of the compatibility, you know, the matching, to find the compatibility, I should say. So, unfortunately, you can't eliminate any of those particular areas. They said age, height, weight, you know, history of hypertension or diabetes. You know, you can't eliminate any of those factors, because all of those things matter. But unfortunately, you know, maybe what you can do is hide that from maybe the first or the second level of people who are matching. You know, where is this coming from? Where is this decision made? Is this the final set of people that's going by or going past that says, okay, you know, we're going to throw these out? You know, this is horrible that you are going to, you know, really use race and, you know, all of this to work against the person who is fighting for their life. And it's not up to you to determine what I choose, you know, how long I choose or what I use to decide to take my chances. Well, this is the world we're living in. And like you have said, you know, here we are, even at this point, organ donation, your race is working against you, you know. So this is just bad. You guys have been excellent. Thank you so much for your contribution into today's conversation. We pray you have a blessed weekend.
All right, you too.
Yeah, you too.
Thank you. Well, it's the end of the week. We did not have a pray for them, so we will take this time to hold hands and hold hearts and go before the Lord. Dear Heavenly Father God, we are at your mercy seat. But first giving you thanks for all that you have done for us. Thank you for the very air we breathe that has allowed us to even have this conversation. Thank you for choosing us to minister. Thank you for choosing us to hear. Whichever side of the fence we sit on today, dear Heavenly Father, we give you thanks. And for those of us who minister and hear, we're grateful as well because there's a double dose of your love that's being given today. We thank you for this week and all the thought-provoking conversations that have taken place, all of the information that we have been so freely given by you. We thank you for our sister Athena, who has become so educated when it comes to this eating and what food can do for us, how it can harm us. And she only has that information because you have given it to her. And we thank you for using her. We thank you for her so freely offering it. We thank you, dear Heavenly Father, for just the ministerial team that you are using through its due time with Pastor Steph. We thank you, God, for Pastor Steph. I thank you, dear Heavenly Father, because even in an ill state, even though I'm not at 100%, God, you have chosen to use me, and you give me the capability to just speak each morning. And I thank you, dear God, that I can be used. And I pray, dear Heavenly Father, that you continue to keep my health at the level that I'm not on a gurney, that I'm not on an operating table, but that I can freely give everything that you have given me. We thank you, dear Heavenly Father, and as I always say, for simply paying the bills. That we don't miss out just because the phone bill is not paid, but just because the internet is not paid or the electricity is turned off. We can't even charge the phone. You're just so gracious to us in so many ways. When we think about just those little teeny-weeny things, all the pixels that it takes to get something done, that if one thing were missing, this may not be possible or that may not be possible. Just the very food we eat, that even though it's working against us, we're still able to either minister or to listen. In your due time crew alone, several of us are ill. In your due time crew alone, several of us are ill. We are operating through an illness. And we're so grateful because you can still use us. And we owe it to you and to your people to make ourselves available. Come what may, we have to make ourselves available, but only because of your Son, who you so freely gave to each of us. We thank you for every listener who feels so blessed that they share the link, they share the information, they converse about what they've heard, what they've learned. We thank you. There's so much we need to thank you for. And we thank you for your forgiveness. Because if not for your forgiveness, we could very well be sleeping in our grave. We love you, Lord, because you have taught us how to love. You have loved us beyond, well past what we deserve. We don't even treat ourselves the way you treat us. You handle us with such care. And we just beat ourselves up in so many different ways. But you still keep us ticking. How do we say thank you for that? We ask you, dear Heavenly Father, to bless Shantice's life, her health, that she's not feeling well. We ask you, dear Heavenly Father, to give her the ability to get up out of her bed and minister for you as she's prepared to have her own show and how you use her and Vivian. We pray that she's able to do so this evening. We thank you, dear Heavenly Father, for one of our faithful and loyal listeners having another year of life. Thank you for Ketty, dear Heavenly Father, who we can even rely on for all her little notes and a reminder of what we've discussed or heard, what we missed. We thank you, God, for her loyalty. And we give you thanks, God, for who she tells and all that you have given her and how this broadcast has helped to sustain her life and her sanity, her mental health and her mental stability. We have so much to thank you for. How you just bring us through and through and through and through and through when we should have gotten into that accident and you said no. When we should have taken that last breath, but you said no. When we endangered our lives, but you said no. We say thank you today. If we never said thank you for that before, we say thank you today. We pray to Heavenly Father that as you take us out of this half of the month, of the year, I'm sorry, this half of the year, we give you thanks. And that all the things that are on the table that are designed to worship, praise, and serve you, to bless your people, that you would bless it. We give you the glory and the honor, so rightly do your name. In the precious name of Jesus we pray, amen. So, let me share with you. We are preparing for our second annual Breaking the Yoke Conference, Breaking the Yoke Women's Conference, I should say, that is slated for July 27th. God spare our life. We have our minister, Jackie Love Calloway, and her Fashion School of Etiquette. We have our pastor, Janae Gibbs, and the two of them are returning. We have our pastor and evangelist, Dennis and Yvette Farrar. We have our minister, Joyce Almeida, who is also returning. We have our pastor, Dodlin Simpson, who's also returning. We have, with all due respect, with Shantice and V, and they are actually returning in a different capacity this year. We have vocalist Carice Morrison Haynes, a powerhouse, who has decided to join forces with us this year. We have our minister Diane Evans, who is returning. We have our minister Athena Dent Aline, who is joining us as of yesterday. The Lord led me to ask her, can she just be a part of our conference this year, and she so readily said yes. The theme for this year is the struggle is real. And let me tell you something. These returning individuals, woo, powerhouses. Now, last year, there was one complaint. This was our first year. It was met with rave reviews only by the grace of God, because it was our first year. But God was amazing last year as he worked through our powerful women of God. But there was one complaint. We had two breakout rooms. We had a breakout room that was split between our Pastor Janae Gibbs and our Minister Diane Evans, and we had our second breakout room that was between our minister Aishika Watkins and our pastor Kim Brooks. And the complaint was we couldn't get to hear everything. We had to decide. Yeah, because you couldn't do both. You had to go one or the other. And because they were all, when I tell you powerful, we heard Pastor Kim from downstairs while we were upstairs. She was tearing it up down there. And if you've heard Pastor Kim on his due time with Pastor Steph, man, oh man, she ripped it. And they all did. Our Pastor Donlin Simpson, oh, she did a segment on intimacy. Oh my goodness gracious. If you missed it last year, I'm telling you, you don't want to miss this year. Amazing. I'm excited. I'm excited because God is an amazing God, and you just have no idea what he has in store for you. You really don't. And yes, I'm getting emotional because I always say I'm at 75%. And I think about how I was moving around at one point, you know. I look at everybody else that's kind of whizzing by me, and I'm like, I need a nap. But I give God thanks. Despite me not being who I used to be, to just be at the helm of such movements like It's Due Time with Pastor Steph and this women's conference, and to be in the company of such powerful ministers. And these people have not been ordained ministers, but they should be. And thus God has, you know, impressed it upon me to itemize them as such. But I'm telling you, if you missed any part of last year, it is on our YouTube channel, A Closer Walk Christian Talk Show YouTube channel. We will have our conference materials again. We have our merchandise. We had food. We'll be having our food again. And this year, God is doing something a little different. He's adding on a second day, a consecutive second day, which will be a staple for us. But this year, it is going to be a second day, and it is a carnival of love. It is a complete day of giving. We will be here in Queens. We will be in one of our local school parks. We do plan to section off a street. And we will have face painting, box, bouncy house. We'll be giving away food and clothes, and we'll have a cook-off for our young people. We'll have a step competition. We'll have a talent showcase. What else is scheduled? We'll have some makeovers. We're going to do some haircuts. We're going to, you know, just doll people up. Just help them feel good. Just a day of giving to the community. And it's being met with so much excitement. And there's just two big days. And for God to just have you moving like this is amazing. because, you know, we talk ministry, but are we really doing ministry? So, you know, between the conference and the Day of Giving, it's going to be a phenomenal weekend. Again, you know, for the Sabbath day, we will be having the service much, much, much different than you've pretty much experienced. We always try to do something just a little different. Last year we introduced the Fashion Expo, which is never done at a women's conference, especially in this arena for Sabbatarians. That is something they do not do. They do not mix a whole lot of things, and God is really moving through us. The reviews were great. I'm still having people, when I ask them, you know, when they talk about it, and I ask, what was your highlight of the day? They actually talk about the fashion. And they were young girls. They were young girls. And I think we had a little one. She must have been about 7. And it's just an amazing experience. This year, we're not doing all white. This year, we're doing shades of blue. So come on, wear your blue, whatever shade of blue makes you feel comfortable. You don't have to be all dressed up, you know, but just bring your blue, bring your worship, bring your praise, bring your sisterhood, bring your manhood, bring your ministry, bring your humility. Just be ready to listen. Listen, the men are invited. The men were in the house last year, and when I tell you the reviews from the men, I actually had a brother come and tell me, Pastor Steph, I just didn't get enough. I didn't get enough. I need more. I needed more. I wanted to hear more. This here, you got to keep it going. This came from the men. The men were extremely blessed, encouraged. I even had someone call me afterwards, one of the men, call me and say, you need to do this for the men because we don't have stuff like this. And I'm like, wow, you know. You know, you can always do it yourself, but, and that's what I said to him. I was like, well, do it. He was like, nah, we can't get what you did. I don't know. You know, God just uses Stephanie the way he uses Stephanie. I don't know. I don't do, you know, just, you know, things that are impossible, but, you know, we always aim to do things that, you know, very few do, things that we haven't seen done, and I have a wonderful team. You know, a progressive thinking team, and they are phenomenal. They always come up with some stuff, and I got some stuff from God, and we're going to sit down. We're going to mull it over tomorrow. So we're working hard to, you know, make the day its greatest in the Lord. So, again, it's July 27th. It starts at 12. Unfortunately, we cannot promise streaming. You know, I would hate to, you know, charge someone for streaming because I couldn't give it for free. It is a measly $45, and I say measly because trust me when I tell you, some of the stuff that we have been met with, the dollars, I just got finished being invited to another women's conference for $175. I wasn't able to make it because I had another engagement, but I don't know. It wasn't at a catering hall, so I can't imagine. You know, they must have been paying their presenters, but, you know, we're blessed to have people ministering just because, you know, it's the love of what they do and God has called them to do it. And I'm not saying that they should not be paid, but my concept is always, you know, if we charge these astronomical fees, do we leave out people who need to hear God's message? And that's just actually what it ends up being. Some people miss out because there are people who just cannot afford $175, $150, you know, $50 and things like that. And, you know, we're at $45, and part of that will be going to the following day of giving. You know, we have to purchase things to be able to give away and to facilitate the day. I just looked yesterday for the permit for the street. We have to pay a fee for the permit. It's not an astronomical fee, but it's a fee. So, you know, it costs to bless, and, you know, and maybe that's what they're thinking too, you know, and what they want to provide, you know, works them up to almost $200. But again, my thing is, you can provide something really nice and blessed where everybody can enjoy. And, you know, I don't see no payment plans, and that would be something else that would bless people to be able to do that. And, you know, I'm, you know, like I said, I'm not beating them up. I'm sure they have their reasons. But all I know is I can't, you know, do that. I need to be able to get people in the house. I need them to hear what it is that God has for them. And we would be, you know, not able to bless as many people as we could if we had a smaller price. So for a measly $45, we, you know, we're bringing this to you. And, again, we're working hard, so I can't wait. Come on in the house. You know how to reach me. You can always reach out to me. I'll give you 513-900-1141. It's going to be here in Queens and very easy to get to, and you'll be hearing some more about it. But, you know, yesterday made an official month, so I'm talking about it now. All right? So join us. I'm excited. If you can't make both days, come on and give us a hand for the day of giving. We'll take it. We'll take it. Okay? All righty. So have you enjoyed this week? I pray to God that you have. We work hard to be able to, again, bring you the very best. We thank God for paying the bills. You know, Blog Talk is not free. It's not crazy expensive, but it's not free. So we thank God. When we say thank God for paying the bills, we actually thank God for paying the bills, because there are things that need to be paid, you know. So let's give God thanks. Let's make sure we spread the word. Tell somebody about It's Due Time for Pastor Steph. We're at about 1,200 episodes. So, you know, whatever day, if I'm sick or something and we can't be on, listen, you take those same 2 hours and you can go back. Press that link. You can get anything that we've ever done from June of 2016. So, again, like I said, it's about 1,200 episodes. And we've had a myriad of guests. We've had a plethora of different ministers. The Due Time crew has shifted and rotated. So there's always something that, you know, you can be blessed with. All right? You've been listening to It's Due Time with Pastor Steph. Join us Monday through Friday from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m., where we discuss matters of the heart, mind, and spirit. As you go through your day, be sure to set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth. They will only serve as a distraction. Remember, prayer changes things. It's Pastor Steph signing off, and I want to thank my Due Time crew, the men, for always coming through big time. Thank you for hanging out with us all week and helping us do what we do. Please do not miss this opportunity to give Christ your life right now. Please do not miss this opportunity to strengthen that relationship with the Lord right now, because later is not promised to any of us until Sunday, God spares, where we'll be in the prayer room. Yes, the Word Prayer Project. Come on in the room and see what we'll be praying about. Until then, God spares. I love you.